If you would take your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 15. Your Bibles, John chapter 15. This morning, I want to encourage you, if you are able to come to the Sunday morning Sunday school series, we are back in our series on the life of Christ. We're in Luke 4 this morning when Jesus was rejected in Nazareth. We'll be in one more message out of that passage, more to get the central idea of the text next week. Today we focus mainly on an aspect of Christ that sets an example for us as we ought to do our best to know more about the Word of God. And I'm thankful for the Word of God. Thankful for God's Word this morning. Say amen. So let's stand and read it together in honor of God's Word, John chapter 15 and verse 1. John 15 and verse 1, the Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the saying bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Focus the message on verse 7, using some surrounding verses to help us, and some other verses in the Word of God, but talk about abiding in prayer. There's a lot we can draw out of this passage of Scripture for sure, but we're going to focus on abiding in prayer this morning. So let's pray. Our God in heaven, Lord, we're grateful and thankful for your word. And again, as we've already prayed, we need you, and I cannot meet needs this morning. There's no possible way I can do that. You know the needs. You can meet the needs. We've got to be willing to respond to how you work so that the needs can be met. So whatever it is, Lord, help us have open hearts. Help us not to be critical in our mindset of anything going on around here. Now we're looking at your word. And so help us to be focused in on what you have for us, and that we would accept it and be willing to be able to please you and how we respond to it. We'll give you the glory and honor for everything said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. If you're a parent this morning, say amen. Imagine this. Your child comes up to you in the morning, says, good morning, Mom. Good morning, Dad. Well, that would be a miracle in and of itself, right? Just the beginning there. I present myself to you today as a living sacrifice. Now, I've lost to all of you just now. That's never happened. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to obey you. Parents, go ahead, nudge child real quick. Some of her downstairs, you might want to stomp her foot. I'm here to obey your orders. What would you like me to do today? That would be a miracle. Amen? But what if this became your prayer? What if every day you re-enlisted into the service of the King? What if every day you woke up and you said, God, I'm yours today. I present myself to you today as a living sacrifice. I'm here to serve you today and to obey you today. I'm here to obey your orders. God, what would you like me to do today? How differently would your day operate? We know a lot about prayer and we talk a lot about prayer. But sometimes we don't pray, do we? The need of every church, the need of every preacher, the need of every Christian, the need of every family is not a seminar on prayer, better books on prayer, or a promise to pray. Prayer is how we lay hold on the blessings and the power of God. Prayer is how we lay hold on the blessings and the power of God. We don't need all those sayings. We just need to pray. We just need to pray. Pray. The Nike slogan, just do it. And we need to do it. Throughout the Bible, God indicates his desire for us to commune with him in prayer. God shows us his willingness to help us with our problems, with what's going on in our lives, when we have needs. So the question for you this morning as we get started, does your life more closely resemble a crisis management mentality or a prayer-dependent mentality? It's been my experience, and I'm sure yours as well, that many Christians, many of us, are good at praying when others are around, but are often neglectful, don't have a personal, private time with the Lord. We sound good when we're asked to pray publicly or something along those lines, but our personal life is not a life of prayer. Praying for a meal or an offering can almost be effortless, but personal, private prayer in an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ can be a daunting task. It's a very important spiritual discipline, but it's one of the most neglected spiritual disciplines of the Christian life. If you intend to truly have an abiding relationship with Jesus, you've got to learn to abide with him in prayer. Spend time with him. Spend time with him praising him. Spend time with him pleading with him. Pleading. Spend time with him interceding on the behalf of others. We're in our Thanksgiving month. I told you we're going to preach two messages on Sunday morning on this idea of Thanksgiving. And this morning, this is not a Thanksgiving message. This morning, this is more on the initial problem of our lives, that we don't even go to God in prayer to ask for anything or to even thank him for anything. And I have a feeling that I'm not the only one that needs this message this morning. I am one that does, though. See, part of being thankful or having that attitude where we wake up in the morning and say, reporting for duty, God, is to have an abiding relationship with God in prayer. So a very simple message this morning, not real deep, but just kind of practical this morning, but helpful. And it's the simple things that we need in life sometimes. I want to talk to you first about the preparation for prayer. Notice in verse 6 of John chapter 15, verse 6, if there's something we must do, there's something we must do before we can receive the promise. If. Romans 10:17 says this, finish it if you can. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. It says there in verse 6 of John 15, if a man abide not in me. Verse 7, if ye abide in me. See that? Verse 6, if a man abide not, Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Jesus says that as we're preparing for a fruitful prayer life, we must first abide in him, and not only should we abide in him, but his words must abide in us. I'm going to do it this way so it helps us in understanding, not that I think, it just helps me, visual. His words abide in us. The word of God should guide your prayer life. Okay, so let me do it again. Look at it now. The word of God should guide your prayer life. That makes a difference. We can just pass over that phrase, the word of God, and not really think about the word of God. And this should guide my prayer life. The more you mature in Christ, the more you will understand the word of God, and the more your prayer life will be in sync with his will and his desires. In fact, go to Proverbs 28, verse 9, please. Save your place in John 15, Proverbs 28, verse 9. See, God says that if we're not listening to his word and we ask for something, that our prayer is a mockery to him. Really? Yeah, look at Proverbs 28, verse 9, where it says here that he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. I have God's word. In other words, I know what God's word says, and I turn my ear away from it. I don't want to hear it. But then when I go to God in prayer about something, he says, hello, there's a disconnect here. You don't want to listen to me. Why do you expect me to listen to you? Is that in essence what he's saying? God says that if we're not listening to his word and try to ask him for something, that our prayer is a mockery. It's an abomination. How many of you in school, you know, you had that subject you hated? Maybe you didn't like the teacher either. You didn't like the lectures. You didn't like the subject. You didn't listen in class. I know nobody. I'm the only one like that, right? Nobody here was like that? You were listening, were you? And when the test came, though, you probably begged God to help you pass the test. The same way God says when we reject his law, his word, and his instructions, that our prayer is a joke. It's a joke. God desires more than an emergency-based relationship with each of us. God desires more than an emergency-based relationship with you. That fella I just talked about that said I was talking with somebody in the back of the auditorium shaking hands, and he mentioned something about how we shouldn't treat God as an ATM. Go to him when we need him, when we need something out of him. God says that when we reject his word and his instructions, that our prayer is a joke, and he desires more than an emergency-based relationship. Psalm 37, verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight yourself in him, in his word. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. We all have desires, but if I don't delight in him, if I don't delight myself in his word, then I can't expect God to grant those desires. And I'll find that the more I delight myself in God's word, the more I am bombarded with the things of God, the more I find my desires change to fit his desires. So it's a lot easier for him than to grant my desires. Because he says, oh yeah, that's my desire too. Easy. Like if my wife said, you know, I really wanted a new truck, I'd be like, amen. I want you to have a new truck, babe. Because that's my desire. See, you're going to desire things that God desires, is what I'm saying. Now, here's what's true about God, because I don't want to paint the wrong picture. God doesn't want to withhold his blessings from you. Oh, God wants to bless you. Oh, he's waiting to bless you. He's waiting to bless me. He doesn't want to withhold his blessings. And he says that if we delight in his word, he'll give us the desires of our heart. How can we abide more effectively in prayer then, Pastor? Jesus answers that question through the scriptures. Go back to John 15. He tells us step by step how we can maintain an abiding relationship with him through prayer. He gives us several prerequisites to prepare us for this. And that's what we're talking about here, the preparation for prayer. Prerequisite number one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We talked about that this morning a little bit in our prayer time in the Sunday school hour. Praise the Lord. I read out of Psalm 25 as we began the service today that we ought to praise the Lord. There's much to thank God for, isn't there? I mean, come on, it's Thanksgiving month. Now, we shouldn't wait till this month to be praising God for things, but there's much to... So let's just do it. I know we don't normally do this on a Sunday morning. Some of you might think this isn't the Baptist way to do things. Get over it, okay? So here we go. I want one-word praises. Just shout it out. One-word praise. Just one word. Salvation. Health. More. Come on. What? Church. Family. Is that all? Food. Amen. Roof. Patience. Friends. I thought you were going to say husband. Amen. Wife. Okay. There's a lot, isn't there? There's a lot. Our hearts should be set on the praise and adoration of God when we come to him. Your heart, when you come to him, ought to be on thanking God for who he is. I'm thanking God for what he's done. I'm thanking God for what he's going to do. I'm thanking God for being God. When Jesus taught the disciples concerning prayer, he began with the phrase, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. More than just a repeated prayer. In fact, he said in a couple of verses before he taught that phrase, he said, don't pray in vain repetitions. That's what he said. Don't use vain repetitions. I'm not teaching you this so you can just repeat it over and over and over and over again, meaninglessly, but he is teaching an example. And the very first thing he taught was he taught to praise God. If our hearts are going to be prepared for prayer, we need to understand who God is. We need to understand His holiness. You got to understand His power. I mean, come on. He's a powerful God. But we got to understand that we need to come into Him with sincere praise and honor. We see that evidence in the life of Paul and Silas when they were in the jail. And their testimony in Acts 16:25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, they could have said, God, help us, we're in jail. God, it's wet and damp in here. God, all we were doing was just preaching your word. God, come on. No, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it was the praises that was heard by somebody else that had an effect. These men whose hearts were filled with praise for God were effective, because that's the preparation for a successful prayer life. You want a successful prayer life? Start with praise. Start with praise. Go to Psalm 66, please. How else do I have to prepare for prayer? Pastor, confess known sin. Not too long ago, we preached out of 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 66, verse 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will what? Not hear me. To regard means to hold on to clench, to not deal with, to not confess, not get right. Because we're going to sin, right? We're going to sin. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful just to forgive us. Aren't you glad for God's forgiveness? But if I hide unconfessed sin in my heart, the Lord says He won't hear me. To have a successful prayer life, we've got to come clean with God and confess our sin to Him. Because anything less is a mere show. God already knows every sin you've committed. You're not informing Him of anything. You can't put on a front with Him. When you begin your time with God, you got to enter His, you're entering His presence, and you should enter His presence and acknowledge your sin and seek His forgiveness. Make sure you're right with God. How well do you think my conversation is going to go with my wife when I've wronged her and then I want to talk to her about something else? And that's on her mind and on her heart. It never happens. We don't ever have issues. But let's just, you know, say that we did. She's probably thinking of one right now, actually. I'm sorry, babe. Publicly, I'm confessing in vague terms so nobody knows what's going on. Now you're all curious. Mind your own business, all right? But no, that conversation is not going to go well. Not at all. So go to God and ask for stuff without getting right with Him. See how that works out for you. See how that goes. God, why is this all this going in my life? Well, you're not abiding in me. You're not abiding in my word. You're not getting things right with me. You've got this going on and this going on and this going on. My Holy Spirit's been convicting your heart about it. Make sure you're right with God. Psalm 34, verse 17. Turn there, please. This is a good one. You might want to write this down or underline it. The righteous cry. The righteous. Doesn't mean sinless, but those who are living a life towards, you know, David had a heart for God, right? He was a sinner. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I need God to hear me. You want God to hear you? Amen. You want God to deliver you out of your troubles? You got to be the righteous. Okay, now obviously let's talk about those. I mean, you know, yes, that can apply. You can say, well, those who are saved are the righteous. Yes, and certainly. But, you know, I've got to live righteously, and I've got to get right with God. I've got to confess my sins, and I know that if I sin my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But here it says, the Lord heareth the righteous. I'm grateful for that. Say, so what else can I do, Pastor, to prepare for pray, to prepare for prayer, praise, confess known sin? Matthew 21, 22. Turn there, please. Matthew 21, 22. Hope you're okay with using your Bibles at church. You know, that's kind of like asking if anybody's okay with using a basketball on the basketball court. I mean, it just makes sense. So, Matthew 21, verse 22. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So exercise faith. The word believe means to put your total confidence in the Lord. God's word promises us that when we pray in faith, believing, we can receive the blessings of God. However, faith is not demanding something from God. Faith is not telling God what to do. Faith believes that God can do whatever he determines to do, and faith places total confidence in the power of God to do what is best. So when you pray in faith, knowing that whatever God says, we're good with. John 14, 13. Turn there, please. John 14, 13. Praise the Lord, confess known sins, exercise faith. John 14, 13 says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Pray in Jesus' name. See, when you do that, you're invoking the power of God. You're invoking the authority of God. You're asking that his will be done in Jesus' name, in your will. What else can we do, Pastor, to prepare for prayer? Praise, confess, exercise faith, pray in his name. Would you go to Ephesians 6:18, please? Ephesians 6:18. There's one more. Pray persistently. Pray persistently. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all. So, praying always. James 5, 16 says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Pray without ceasing. James 4, 2. Ye ask not because ye have not. Or ye have not. I'm sorry, I got those reversed. Ye have not because ye ask not. Pray persistently. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus taught the disciples that there were certain prayer requests that were only going to be answered through consistency, through fervency, through the word is importunity. And in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, he spake a parable unto them this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said, just keep praying. Don't stop. Don't give up on prayer until you get an answer. The answer might not be what you want, but you're going to get an answer. You keep praying. Now listen, you got to make sure there's no hindrances. And remember, you got to go back and realize, am I going to God and just asking for things? Am I praising him? Am I going to God and confessing sin? Am I just asking for things? Am I going to God and asking in faith? Am I praying persistently? Am I praying in his name, in his will? See, to abide in prayer, we've got to continually bombard the throne of grace with our requests. Persistent prayer is more than just coming to God once in a while. It's coming to God on a regular basis. That's why he said, abide in me. And back in our text in John chapter 15, if you'll turn there, John chapter 15 and verse 7, he used the word if. And he said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What is prayer then? Prayer is asking God for help. Prayer is talking to God. Yeah, confessing sin, we talked about that. Praising Him, adoring Him. But the heart of prayer is relying on God. Matthew 7:7, ask, and it shall be given unto thee. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to thee. For everyone that asketh, what? Receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. The fact that we continually come to Him with requests pleases God. God is pleased with our persistency. He is pleased when we ask Him for help. You know what prayer is? I'm kind of defining prayer for a moment here this morning. Yes, prayer is asking. Yes. But asking is subject to abiding in His will. So we're talking about prayer is asking, but our asking, if you are away from God and you are resisting His will, if you are dishonoring Him and you are denying His voice, then you're likely going to ask for things that would not be good for you. And God has no obligation to hear those prayers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul asked the Lord, you can turn there if you want, please. The Apostle Paul asked the Lord 3 times for healing. Now, Paul wasn't in a situation where he wasn't right with God. But in God's will, the Lord didn't heal the apostle, but he told him in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, he told him in verse 9 that his grace was sufficient. Sometimes we will pray for things that are not in the will of God for us. Sometimes there's something, a burden in your life that you're praying about. Sometimes you're asking God for something that just might not be in His will for your life. And He may choose not to heal, or He may choose not to remove the burden. And in these cases, He chooses to give a special measure of His sustaining grace, His strength to carry us through the trial. Yes, there are certain things that I need in my life. I think I need in my life. I want God to remove a burden or whatever. But here's the deal. If I didn't have the burden, I wouldn't experience the grace of God. If I didn't have the burden, I wouldn't have then the opportunity to experience the strength of God in my life. Without the burden, no grace. Without the burden, possibly no me falling on my knees before the Lord and communing with Him and abiding in Him. Possibly me not getting into the Word of God and seeking His face and seeking His help and seeking His grace in my life without the burden. This is why Paul was able to say most gladly, it's there in 2 Corinthians, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul is saying that even if God chooses not to take away the burden or the trial, he will continue to praise God anyways. See, it's not God, I'm praising you if. God, I'm praising you anyways. I'm praising you because you're God and you deserve it. God's not a genie. He's not. Prayer is not an opportunity to tell Him what to do. Faith doesn't bind Him to my whims. Faith, me having faith does not obligate God. Oh, He's moved by it, for sure. Prayer is my privilege to seek His will and ask for His help and accomplish things. We read James 4:3 earlier. I quoted it. You ask and receive because you ask amiss that you may consume upon your lust. You have not because you ask not. Sometimes we completely miss the mark in our prayer lives. It's like the guy who prayed for a speedboat or a fishing boat. Said, God, if you give me a boat, I promise you I'll have devotions on that boat. So give me a boat. There's a guy I knew at Lighthouse Baptist Church, of course. By the time he was telling me the story, he had grown in the Lord and had grown past this. But there was a time in his life where he was praying for a fishing boat. And he promised God, if you give me a fishing boat, he'll only miss, God, if you give me a fishing boat, I'll only miss 2 Sundays a month. Oh, okay then. Deal. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together, but if you promise to only miss 2 Sundays, here you go. I'll give you a boat. He told me, he said, that's the dumbest thing I've ever did in my life. I said, that's okay. When I was a kid, I promised God that if he put me in the NBA, I'd tithe off of it. Sometimes we completely miss the mark. We can't pray against a biblical principle and expect God to bless us. James said our prayers are not answered because they're off the mark. They're out of the will of God. If I'm not abiding in Christ, then most likely my prayers are focused on things that God doesn't desire for me. We could actually be praying dangerously. What happens when people start praying? No, I mean like really praying. Well, you can look at the first century church in the book of Acts. And you can see what happened when people got together and prayed. You can see the power of God that came upon that church. That was such a huge church. No, not at the beginning. They were hiding in an upper room. They were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus had died. They saw him ascend to heaven. And they were instructed, go and wait and pray. And they did. They prayed. And they prayed fervently. And they had a desire to be close to God. They wanted to honor God for their lives. They wanted to please him. And they prayed. And great power came upon that church. Just imagine if you started praying and the person in front of you and the person behind you started praying. We prayed fervently. Yes, maybe corporately, together like we do on Wednesday nights, but I'm also talking about just individually in every single day of our lives. We were a people of prayer. Imagine what would happen in a church, how God could use a church that is a church of prayer. Pastor, you're saying we don't pray. No, I'm not saying that at all. But what if we made sure we were aligned with the principles of prayer that we see in the Word of God? When people start praying, when moms and dads start praying, what would change in their lives? What would change in their families when they're actually in prayer? When husbands start praying for their wives and wives start praying for their husbands daily and they start praying for their kids, when the family prays together, imagine the power of God and the answers that God will give and the blessings that God will give when you start praying before you go to work, when you're praying while you're at work, and yes, Satan's going to attack, there's going to be difficulties and challenges, but imagine the strength and the peace of God going through those things. When you pray before you go to school, teenager, and you're going to be faced with sin, you want to honor God, you want to serve God, but you keep finding yourself falling into sin and giving in to the temptations that are going on around there. Listen, parents, they're being bombarded on a daily basis there in ways you and I never experienced. It was bad when I was in school. It's way worse now. And if we prayed for them, be a light, be an example, be a witness. Stand for God. Jesus said, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 7 of our text. Now listen, here's the deal. Oh, wow, that's neat. No, that was Jesus who said that. No, that was God, the Son of God who said that. That was somebody who has authority who said that. He wasn't like, man. No, he's saying, no, if you abide in me and I in you, my words abide in you. Here's the deal. Ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. It's in the bank. It's guaranteed. He says it with authority. There are some prerequisites there in we covered the prerequisites. And he says, it shall be done unto you. Think of Moses. Think of Gideon. Think of Hannah. Each of these came before God asking for help, seeking his provision, seeking his power. And every time God honored their request, he intervened in their lives. with his mighty power. I think of David in the city of Ziklag. I've told it, said this before. The women and children are taken captive, and you would think, why are you praying about it, David? Just go after them. But he wanted to be sure God was in it. Should we go? Should we go up? Go after the Amalekites? Because they outnumber us 300-1. God said, go, and you'll restore all. See, and now he has the confidence to go because he had the direction of God to go. And he had the power of God to go. William Carey, the great missionary to India, said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. He is a man who had learned to pray and a man who believed God could answer prayer. This morning, I just want to say that you serve a God who specializes in impossible situations and mightily answers prayer. You need God's help. There's no doubt this morning that you need God's help with something right now. And you probably need answers to prayer right now. And God promises you that if you will abide in him and his word abides in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Why would God be so available? Why would he care? Why is he so interested in answering your prayers? We're in John 15. Go back to John 14. Look at verse 13. Here's why. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you realize that God, all he's doing is he's setting you up, he's positioning you to glorify him in return? So what's the big deal about that? The big deal is this. If I need to remind you that you're a sinner who deserves the devil's hell, and you're privileged to honor God, You're privileged to be in God's house today. Not because of me. I've got nothing to do with it. I'm privileged to be here. Amen? I'm glad we live in a country where we can still freely worship, aren't you? Absolutely. We have the freedoms, and we maybe find that we're not taking advantage of those freedoms that God has given us. God has positioned us to glorify him. God wants to hear you glorify him. God wants to position you to please him. And it says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He desires your praise. He desires your thanks. God answers prayer so maybe you will tell others of his goodness. He desires for you to tell somebody about his blessings in your life. He wants you to share the victories with others and glorify God because of those answered prayers and those victories. And if you've been healed, if you've been blessed, if you've been cared for, if you've been saved, tell somebody. Tell somebody. If your marriage has been spared by God's grace, tell somebody. If someone recognizes God's blessings in your life, don't take the credit. Give God the glory. Go to God. Praise God. Make sure you're right with God. Spend time with God. Pray to God. God answers prayer. Glorify God. Tell somebody. An abiding Christian is a praying Christian. Praying is what began your relationship with Jesus Christ the moment you got saved. Do you remember that day? Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's prayer. Called upon him. And prayer is the key that begins an abiding relationship with Jesus. And here's the deal. It's moment by moment, it's day by day, you seek his help in every aspect of your life. And he's waiting even now to meet with you. He's always waiting for you to come to him in prayer. So ask these questions. Am I abiding with him now? Am I acknowledging his power and his presence? Am I praising his name? Do I have sin that's unconfessed? Do I believe he can answer the prayer? Am I praying persistently? Am I praying in his name? Am I staying in the Word of God faithfully?